India. It is an area of the world which until 1934, for geographical reasons, had never been visited by human beings. The sanctuary lies surrounded by 20,000-foot-high peaks, which effectively sealed it off, and it gained its name from the absence of human involvement. Here with me in the studio today, I have one of the few men who has actually visited it, filmmaker, writer and explorer Hugh Thompson, who rather helpfully has written a book called Nanda Devi. Now, Hugh, it's known as the Nanda Devi Sanctuary, but is Nanda Devi the area, or is it the... is that the mountain at sort of the heart of it?
Yes, so Nanda Devi is the mountain at the centre.
Right.
And then this valley that runs all around it is the sanctuary area, which, as you said, is virtually inaccessible because round that valley is a further ring of mountains, which pretty much seal it off.
So is it sort of like a donut, as it were, is it with them? With the mountain in the middle. With
completely.
It? Okay,
completely.
Okay.
The mountain is the jam. And this posed a huge problem for generations of mountaineers who could climb the surrounding ring of mountains, if you like, and look down into this wonderful valley and see the base of Nanda Devi itself, but were unable to even try to climb it, let alone get to the top.
Okay, and where exactly in India are we?
We're almost on the border with Tibet, pretty much due north of Delhi, and close to the border again with Nepal.
Now, this is a really stupid question, okay, Hugh, but if no one had been there, how did anybody know it was there?
Oh, they could see the mountain from
okay.
the surrounding mountains.
Right.
And it had been known about for some time, since the late 19th century, but probably three generations of British mountaineers tried to get into the sanctuary and then climb the mountain for one very good reason, because being the highest mountain in India at well over 25,000 feet, it was therefore the highest mountain in the British Empire as well.
Ah.
So it was the natural goal
right.
for the Alpine Club, who were all left feeling pretty stupid that they couldn't even make an attempt.
So I would imagine if there's this sort of land in the distance, it would take on a sort of mythological character for people. Is that the case? Is that what happened?
I think that did happen. I mean, by the 1930s, when it was still unclimbed, and one mountaineer rather despairingly said that it was more inaccessible than the North Pole, which of course had long been reached, I think people like James Hilton in his Lost Horizon and Shangri-La stories seized on this idea of the rather sort of inaccessible sanctuary of the Himalayas that was completely hidden away, and used it for his book and then the later film. So it had a very strong mythological hold on the public imagination.
And who was the first brave soul who actually managed it?
The two of them, Eric Shipton and Bill Tillman, the terrible twins of British pre-war mountaineering, who were the young rebels of the time and went against all the established rules of the Alpine Club. And there was a lot of humping and hawing from the armchairs at the Alpine Club. These two young guys went off to the Himalaya. They went not with a huge expedition, but just two or three Sherpas that worked with before. They shared everything, food, tents, whatever, with those Sherpas, so there was no division between officer class and the Sherpas, and confounded everyone by managing to find a way in to the sanctuary after two punishing long seasons out there. It's a lovely story that after these two punishing seasons, Shipton turned to Tillman and said, do you think we should start calling each other by our Christian names now? And Tillman is supposed to have turned back and said, well, we could, but it would just sound so damn silly.
Wonderful sort of British attitude. And the expedition that you joined has a Shipton connection, doesn't it?
It did indeed. Again, a very gratifying one. John Shipton, Eric's son, was one of the leaders of the expedition, which was a joint Anglo-Indian expedition, so we had some very distinguished Indian mountaineers with us as well. But no, that was one of the reasons, I think, probably why the Indian government led us back in, because the whole sanctuary area has been closed for 25, 30 years. For all sorts of complicated political reasons, partly because it is so close to the border of Tibet and there are a lot of security issues, as they say. So we were very lucky to be allowed to get back there. And no one else, no international expedition, has been allowed to go back since.
Now, you've made it very clear that it was incredibly inaccessible. So how did you get there?
With a certain amount of difficulty, certainly for me. I don't claim to be a great mountaineer. I'm an enthusiastic amateur. So we managed to follow the same route that Shipton and Tillman took up this River Canyon, which is the one way into the Ring of Mountains. It's Box Canyon that rises several thousand feet up from the tributary of the Ganges, which rises in the sanctuary. And threading our way along the canyon walls, following their route, we managed to get in. I mean, obviously they had established the route, and that was the difficult bit. Following the route was not nearly so difficult, although for me it involved a few vertiginous and heart-stopping moments. All the more professional mountaineers with us.
So take us easily with you, because the chances are we'll never be able to go there. What's that moment like when you actually arrive in the sanctuary?
There's a last little bit of the climb, which the porters call the Stairway to Heaven. Not after the Led Zeppelin song, but because if you climb it successfully, either you'll climb it successfully and reach the sanctuary, or you'll fall off. Right. Either way, you'll reach heaven. And so we had a last testing moment before we could get up into the sanctuary itself. And we arrived by then, late afternoon, early evening. Nanda Devi bathed in sunlight, the goddess as she's considered locally, and this wonderful valley stretching around it of high Himalayan grasslands, with a picturesque group of blue sheep nestled on a hilltop nearby. And it's a very special moment, and obviously a very privileged moment, because you feel you are entering an area where very few people have been.
Well, I think it should stay like that. I think it sounds wonderful. My thanks to Hugh Thompson, and also to my earlier guests, Coco Kawanami and Stephen Walker. Next week, I shall be looking for the world's missing settlements. It's very annoying to lose anything, but it's just downright careless to lose a city. Until then, good morning.